say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's hard to fathom. That's hard to understand. That's hard to begin to believe that we could actually do anything greater than what Jesus did. Can you imagine that? But that's what he said. Didn't he say that? Let's read it together one more time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, did that happen? Is it still happen? Anybody here ever been healed? Anybody ever prayed for somebody else that was healed? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're still doing the same works, aren't we? Amen. But he goes on to say, in greater works. Now notice works is in parentheses. In your Bible, it's probably in italics. That means that it was added by the translators so that we would understand a little more clear. So literally what it's saying, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. And so he's just telling us tonight that he came to bring greater things. I've heard people say, oh, I wish I could have been here when Jesus walked on the earth. Hey, I want to tell you something. We're living in the day of greater things. I've heard people say, oh, I'd like to have been there when Moses was at the mountain. I want to tell you tonight, we're living in the day of greater things. Amen. Hey, this thing's getting ready to wrap up. You talk about great. We're living in the time of greater things. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Amen. The greatest display of power that the world had ever seen heretofore was God did great things for Abraham. God did great things for Isaac. God did great things for Jacob. God did great things for Joseph. Amen. But Israel had been in bondage for 430 years. And God said, it's time to let my people go. Amen. We don't fathom or understand the things of God, the plans of God, the thoughts of God, or the ways of God. Amen. I can't understand why God did all of that. I can give you some reasons. I know that God had greater plans for Israel. Amen. I know that God had great plans for Israel. And 70 people just wasn't going to be able to do it. He said, I'm going to need more than that. So God put them in a secluded place and he allowed them to thrive there. And toward the end of that time, they were brought into slavery. Now, sometimes God has to get us uncomfortable before he can move us into the realm he wants us to go into. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what? You and I are real concerned about being comfortable. You know how I know that? Because of these thermostats on the wall. They're always getting adjusted. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because somebody wants to be comfortable. We all want to be comfortable. We're more interested in being comfortable than anything else. But God is a lot more interested in building our character and developing us into what he wants us to be than us being comfortable. But we like to be comfortable. If it were left up to us, we'd just stay where we are. Sometimes I see the kingdom of God as a house. And I'm in this house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, or many rooms. I see myself in this place, and I get in this place, and I'm real comfortable. Anybody know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, the Lord moves me into another room. And I don't like it. Because I'm uncomfortable. It's not what I'm used to. And after a while, I come to see, well, yeah, this is nicer than where I was. This is better, and so I get used to that, and I grow accustomed to it. And then the Lord said, okay, it's time to move you to another room. And then he puts me in another place, and it's bigger, and it's scarier, and there's unfamiliar things there. And I get used to that, and I grow accustomed to that. And I think, well, you know what? This is better than what I had before. And then about the time I get comfortable, God puts me in another place. And that's life. He continually pushes us forward, causing us to grow and become stronger and to become better. And that's what God did for Israel in Egypt. And then it came time to deliver them. You know, Moses was ready to deliver the people before they were ready to go. Yeah, he was. Now, I love that little story. I've told it several times, but let me just tell it one more time in case somebody hadn't heard it. Little boy scout come home, and he had a black eye. His clothes were torn. He was dirty. And his mom said, "Honey, what in the world happened to you?" Big old grin on his face. He said, "I did my good deed today, Mama." He said, "Well, what in the world did you do?" He said, "I helped this little lady across the street." And she said, "That's good, honey. How'd you get all messed up?" He said, "Well, she didn't want to go." And sometimes God gets ready to deliver people and they're not ready to go. And it's a skirmish. Amen. So God had to get Israel ready to go. And so he put them in a condition where they were very uncomfortable. And then when he sent his prophet, it was time to go. So Moses came. And oh, the manifestation of God's glory. Amen. Water turned to blood. Frogs all over the place. The ground turned to lice. Flies all over the place. The livestock stricken with disease. Boils break out on people. Hail comes and destroys all of the crops. The locusts come and destroy what the hail didn't get. Darkness, thick darkness, falls across all the land. But in all of these things, the heart of Pharaoh was continually hardened. Until God sent the Passover, the death of the firstborn, the Passover lamb, the deliverance of everybody that had the blood on the doorpost and consumed the flesh of the lamb. He said, when you eat that lamb and you got the blood on the doorpost, he said, you have your suitcase packed, you have your shoes on your feet, because we're getting ready to get out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. And at midnight, the death angel passed over. But the wailing went up from all the house of Israel where the firstborn was dead. And they said to the Israelites, "All right, all right, all right. Your God wins. It's time for you to go." Boy, there'd never been anything like that in the history of the world. Praise the Lord. A God that would intervene after that fashion. Amen. And it didn't stop there. Amen. You remember the story how Pharaoh and his army came after Israel. Here they were at the Red Sea, and there was no place to go but forward. And God said, "Lift up your rod." And the rod was lifted up. The waters parted. God took a deep breath and blew it across the mud, and the mud became dry ground. And he said, "It's time for you to go." Now you remember, I've told you this recently, but if I read somewhere, we're talking about 2 to 3 million people crossing the Red Sea in one night. That's a lot of folks. They didn't do that single file. The author said that in order to get across the sea in the time allowed to them, they would have had to walk 8,000 people abreast. That's a wide path. That's a wide path. And all of their livestock and their cows and their sheep and their donkeys and their camels and all the other stuff that they had. I'm telling you, friend, it was a mighty miracle that God wrought in the parting of the Red Sea. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then when Pharaoh's army came behind them, God took off the chariot wheels and closed the waters like the clapping of his hands. The seas closed over them and they were destroyed. And the next morning all Israel saw was the bodies of their enemy washing up on the seashore. And God said, you'll never see them again. The Bible said that's a type of baptism. Hallelujah. Hey, when you go down in those waters right there, in the name of Jesus Christ, all of those sins, you'll never see them again. They have been stricken from the record of God, and he has blotted out every one of our transgressions. We ought to shout to praise to God for the privilege of baptism. Well, that got a, like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Amen. Let's try that one more time. I said we ought to shout unto God tonight for the privilege of water baptism and the washing away of our sins. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Then for God to lead them through the wilderness, you talk about miracles. There was no Walmart. There was no Brookshire's. There was no whatever grocery store. No, amen, Fiesta. There wasn't anything. Amen, no grocery stores. And yet they didn't go hungry a day. There was no waterworks. And yet they had water out of a rock that kept them and followed them and nourished them. I'm talking about a lot of water here, folks. When you get a couple of million people, that's a lot of water. When you get all their cows and their horses and their donkeys and all of us and camels, big old camels, boy, they can put it away. You're talking about a bunch of water. And we're talking about people that are mobile in the wilderness. I'm talking about a great God who's doing some great stuff. Amen. 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 There was no hospitals. Amen. But the Bible said that there was no sickness. There wasn't any clothing stores. Amen. No place to buy clothes. No place to buy shoes. Some of you ladies would have died. Can you imagine the same shoes for 40 years and the same clothes for 40 years? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a journey. But God provided for them walking through the desert. He gave them an air conditioner in the daytime in the form of a cloud. He gave them a heater in the nighttime in the form of a fire that watched over them. He would lead them and guide them and keep them and bless them. Oh, that was a miracle. What a way. What a great and wonderful thing Israel experienced. Amen. And then they came to Mount Sinai. The Lord said, I'm going to talk to you now. He said, now Moses, I want you to talk to the people and get them ready. He said, I want you to tell everybody first of all, they need to take a bath and get cleaned up. Amen. They need to separate themselves and sanctify themselves because I'm getting ready to talk to them. And he said, you put a boundary out there at the bottom of the mountain and you tell anybody, don't you come past this boundary. You touch this mountain while God's speaking and you'll die. And then the Bible said that a thick cloud came down on the mountain, fire on the mountain. The voice of God began to speak to the people of Israel. Amen. Trumpets were sounding and piercing the air and lightnings and thunderings and shaking going on. And the mountain was trembling at the presence of God. And when people saw all that, they listened. Believe it or not. Their eyes big. Amen. The heart beating fast. Amen. And when God finally had said what he said, the people said to Moses, now I want you to tell God, let him talk to you, and then you talk to us. We'll listen to you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Amen. You know how long it took them to backslide? less than 40 days. Isn't that amazing? Less than 40 days. God called Moses and said, you come on up the mountain, I got to talk to you. Moses went up and God began to write the law on tablets of stone. And for 40 days, Moses stayed in the presence of God. Down at the bottom of the mountain, the people said, we don't know what happened to this Moses character. Aaron, we want you to make us a god. Huh? Create a god? How do you do that? Why would you want to create a god? Why would you want to make a god? If it's a god that you make with your hands, then you're the creator. Why would you want to worship something that comes out of your imagination? You're greater than your God. Why would you want to worship something that was inferior to you? Why would you want to worship something that you created and you can destroy? Why would you want to worship something that you have power over? If I'm going to worship a God, I want somebody that's bigger than I am. I want somebody that's smarter than I am. I want the one that created me. I want the one that sustains me. I want the one that's greater. Amen. And so Aaron said, okay, I want you to give me gold. And they started pulling off earrings and rings and all kinds of stuff and giving it to him. And he put it in the fire and he melted it and then he shaped it in the form of a calf. And he said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. 40 days removed. 40 days removed. Less than 40 days removed. From their confession to God. Yes, we'll be true. We'll worship you and you only. Amen. And then, so here they're worshiping that God. They build an altar. They start offering sacrifices to this silly golden calf that they just made. And God gets real upset. He said, Moses, you better get down there. I'm getting ready to blot them out. Amen. And so Moses headed down the mountain. He said, God, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Amen. So Moses came down, became the mediator. When Moses got a little upset himself, he broke all 10 commandments at the same time. No, he broke a lot more than that. He threw down those tablets. Amen. And they broke in his anger against the people of God. And God told Moses, he said, I'm going to blot them out. He said, if you blot them out, you blot my name out. The Lord said, all right, Moses, enough. He said, I'll blot out whom I want to blot out. Amen. God lets you go so far, and then he said, that's far enough. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and do what I told you I'm going to do. And that's exactly what God did. Amen. But you talk about great. Oh, it was a great thing, wasn't it? Amen. God gave them the plan for the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle the way the Lord had said. They set that tabernacle up. The Bible said that the power of God, the visible presence of God, came down so thick on that tabernacle that they couldn't even get inside of it. It was just full of the presence of God. Hallelujah. It was dedicated to the Lord. God has consecrated a priesthood. And God gave them a system of sacrifices and form of worship. And they followed after that. And God honored them. God gave them the Sabbath. God gave them feast. God gave them the law. God gave them the prophets. Amen. Oh, you talk about a blessed people. There's no people that had ever existed like the people of Israel. Amen. But I want to talk a minute about some greater things than that. Hallelujah. Woo! When we got close to the end of the dispensation of law, God began to show us some greater things. It was quiet. It came silently. It all kind of started one day. A man by the name of Zechariah was offering sacrifice in the temple, and an angel appeared to this old man, and he said, "You and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name John." And when he said that, he said, "That's impossible. We're too old to have kids now. My wife is way past the age of childbearing." They should have learned from Abraham and Sarah. God says something, just take him at his word. Get ready to enjoy the ride. Amen. And so the angel said, "Okay, you have it your way, but you're not talking till this baby's born." And he couldn't even share the good news. He came out, his eyes are sparkling. Hey man, he's lit up like a Christmas tree. He's all excited. Huh? And he can't speak a word. Well, that'd be torture, wouldn't it? You know, something good happens, we want to tell people. It's like the preacher. It was just a nice day. He snuck off and went golfing on a Sunday. Didn't tell nobody. The Lord said to the angel, he said, "Watch this." He hits a 350-yard drive, hits the green, the cup or the ball drops in the cup, hole in one. Preacher's ecstatic. He's jumping up and down. He's about to have a heart attack. He's so excited. And the angel says, "Lord, why did you do that? Why did you bless him?" He said, "Who's he going to tell?" You talk about punishment. All that, it never happened again in his life, and he can't tell anybody. Amen. Zechariah couldn't tell anybody until John was born, and they're trying to name him, and all of a sudden he said, "Call his name John." And then, and that was the beginning, the forerunner, the cousin of Jesus Christ. Before John was born, an angel appeared to a little virgin by the name of Mary in a little old bitty town called Nazareth. And he said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored among women." Amen. Scared the daylights out of her. And then he said, "Oh, fear not." Amen. I don't know. This is my interpretation. It could be completely wrong. But I just got a feeling that Gabriel just was so excited to say that. He got a little carried away. And then he said, "Oh, wait a minute. Fear not. I know I'm supposed to say that first." Amen. And then he began to tell Mary how these things going to be. She wanted to know. He said, "All things are possible with God." Hallelujah. That which is that babe that's in you is going to be over. You're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. Now we got folks that they don't believe that. They say, "Well, the word virgin just means a young woman." Amen. Well, then you got a whole lot of more explaining to do besides that. "How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man?" Amen. Praise the Lord. He said that is going to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. And now you either believe that or you don't. I said you either believe that or you don't. Amen. It was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. Amen. Well, that's never happened before since. You're right. I'm talking about greater things. Hallelujah. It had never happened before in history. It has never happened again, and it's not going to. Amen. You talk about great things. Amen. The angel Gabriel and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the difficult journey to Bethlehem. And there in that stable outside the inn in which there was no room. Amen. Angels appear in the sky to shepherds. Shepherds come to worship him. Wise men come from the east. It was an exciting, exciting time. The birth of Jesus Christ. But it got better than that. When he was 30 years of age, he began preaching. And when he started preaching, they simply said, "Never man spake like this man. He speaks as one having authority." Amen. His message was great. His miracles were great. He had miracles over nature. Brother Neil, you talked about him muzzling a storm and telling the storm, peace, be still, and rampant waves lay down at his feet like a little lap dog. And the winds ceased at the sound of his voice, and the heavens grew quiet, and peace came just at the sound of his voice. He could walk on water. He could turn water to wine. He could take a couple of fish and a few pieces of bread and feed a multitude of people. It was miracle after miracle after miracle. Nature, he was its ruler. He was its creator. And nature was subject to him. Amen. Every kind of sickness. He could open eyes that were blind that had never seen before. He could cause limbs that had never been able to hold weight to cause people to rise up and walk and leap and run and praise God. He could cause the paralytic to walk and stand. He could cause the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. He could cause the leper to be cleansed. He did miracle, greater things, greater things, greater things, greater things. He said a greater than Jonas is here, and a greater than Solomon is here, and a greater than Moses is here. He did things that had not been done since the beginning of time, the Bible said. In the realm of miracles, he had power over death on three occasions. When he saw the funeral procession of the widow of Nain bearing her son, he stopped the funeral procession. He said to the young man lying there on the funeral bier, he said, rise up. And the young man sat up, received breath and strength and life, and he restored him to his mother. When they took him to the house of Jairus, and there lay the little girl dead, the Bible said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But he took her by the hand, a little old cold, lifeless hand, and he said, daughter, rise. Hallelujah. She sat up. Her little eyes flickered open. The flesh of the color of flesh returned to her cheeks. Strength returned to her muscles. She got up, said, I'm hungry. Amen. I'm talking about greater things here. Amen. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days when he got there. He said, roll away the stone. Martha said, my, now he's stinking, Lord. Amen. Well, stink won't stop him. If it did, none of us had been saved. We're all stinkers. Amen. We're only going to be saved because it doesn't stop him. Roll away the stone. They rolled the stone away. They put the stone there. He said, you take it away. And they rolled the stone away. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know where Lazarus was at that exact moment, but wherever he was and whoever he was talking to, he said, I hear a familiar voice. He said, here I am in the terrestrial, in the celestial. I got to go back to the terrestrial. So he came back to the earth. Amen. Back into that body. And somehow got up and hopped out there bound hand and foot. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Amen. I'm talking about greater things. It was great. What happened in the book of Exodus? It was great what happened in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, the world had never seen anything like that before. Amen. That was the concern. After Lazarus was raised, they really got scared. They said, the whole world's going after him. That's the plan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Power over demons. Amen. He could speak and demons had to flee. They came out crying and screaming, sometimes unwilling, but they came out because they had no power to stay. He had power over them. Amen. And it was in that, when you get to the 12th chapter, 13th chapter, 14th chapter, to the 17th chapter of John, it's almost like you need to take your shoes off because you're standing there on some holy ground. Jesus is gathered here with his disciples in an upper room. They're getting ready to have their last get together. We call it the Last Supper. And so here they're all gathered together. Jesus is saying his last words that he's going to say to his church. And it's sacred and it's hallowed. And so we're privy to that because he said, I want you to write down what I'm going to say. And John wrote it down. I'm so glad that he did, aren't you? Amen. But in the midst of that discourse, his last instructions to his disciples, in just a few hours, he'll be walking up a hill with a cross on his back. And they'll not see him in that flesh body again. In a few hours, his eyes, physical eyes, will close in death. And his muscles will lose their strength. His heart will cease to beat. And he'll surrender for a time to death. And so these words are so powerful in that setting when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. There's the qualifier. You got to believe on him. I said, you got to believe on him. It's not good enough to believe on somebody else or what somebody else does. The sons of Sceva found that out, didn't they? They went to a man's house that had some demons, and they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And he did. Beat them black and blue, ripped their clothes. They ran out of there screaming and hollering, glad to be delivered. Amen. He did come out for a minute. Beat the daylights out of them. It's not, you can't go on somebody else's experience. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Now here's a key. Because I go to my Father. You see, here's the reason. It's not so we can have an ego and talk about how great things we're doing. It's not so we can boast about how many gifts of the Spirit we have. It's not so we can talk about healings and wonders and miracles. That's not the reason. Amen. The reason is this. Because as long as Jesus was here, he was one man in one place. He said, we're getting ready to broaden this operation here. Hallelujah. I am with you, but I shall be in you. Hallelujah. Pray. Now, it's good to have somebody with you. He said, but we're fixing to get real close here in just a little bit. Amen. You think it's been a joy to this point. You just wait till Pentecost. It's coming. Hallelujah. I'm talking about greater things. It was great, wasn't it? Walking and talking with Jesus and seeing the miracles, and they themselves did miracles. He sent them out. And the Bible said they came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to them, and they healed people in Jesus' name. Yes, they did. Amen. But something greater was coming. Something greater was needed. The Bible says when they arrested him in that garden, his disciples scattered. Amen. Here's big old strong, impetuous Peter in a courtyard. And some little old girl looks up at him and accuses him. Said, you were with Jesus, weren't you? He said, no, no. Amen. Three times he denies him. Amen. Can't even stand up to an accusation from a little old helpless girl. No backbone. No strength. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to see a different Peter here in just a minute than that one. Oh, hallelujah. He's different. Amen. I'm talking about greater things. After Calvary. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he said, I want you to go to an upper room and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. I want you to wait for the promise, he said, of the Father. And they gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem where they had the Last Supper. And as they gathered there, 120, the Bible says. And they were waiting. And when, let's say it together, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. I'm talking about some greater things. Hallelujah. Amen. You read on down a little bit further. Amen. They spilled out of that upper room. They got over on Solomon's porch. The Bible said they were praising God and they were speaking in tongues and people from different countries could understand them. Let me just say something here. Every time you speak in tongues, it's not going to be a known language. There's such a thing as unknown tongues. Sometimes God gives you a language that's just known to Him. It's not even known to you. You'll speak it, but you don't know what you're saying. It's known to God. That's an unknown tongue. Sometimes God allows you to speak in a language that's foreign to you. You don't know it. And you don't know what you're saying, but somebody around you may know what you're saying. It's happened to my daughter a couple of times in Colombia when we were there. Little old kids. I'm talking about out in the middle of the jungle in the sticks and nowhere land. Amen. We might have been the first white people they'd ever seen. Amen. And one little girl about 5 years old got the Holy Ghost and she was speaking in tongues. She was speaking in perfect English. I mean, she was saying stuff like, "Oh, thou glorious Lord that sits in the midst of the cherubims, how I praise thee." You know, six-year-olds don't talk like that in the first place, much less in a language they'd never heard. And she just goes on saying these glorious phrases. You know why that happened? So that a little missionary girl could be encouraged. Amen. So that she would understand that we were smack dab in the will of God. Amen. My mom one day was praying with a little girl on the altar, and this girl had gone through a lot of trauma. She'd been in an accident, her family and her, and her husband was killed in that accident. And as a result, she lost the baby that she was expecting, and just one tragedy after another. She came back to service, down kneeling at the altar. My mother went down to pray with her. And my mom just talking in tongues and worshiping God and praying with this girl, trying to encourage her. And when they got through, she looks at my mom and they go smiling. And she says, "Thank you for praying. I didn't know that you knew Spanish." The only Spanish my mom knew was chalupi. She couldn't say chalupa. She called them chalupis. But they were good. Amen. She could say taco. Maybe enchilada. That's all the Spanish my mom knew. Amen. But the Holy Ghost knew that girl needed to hear something. And the Lord was speaking through my mom, encouraging that young lady. You see, tongues oftentimes are for edification. Most of the time, it edifies the person. That's why we speak in tongues around here. It's okay to do that because it edifies you. Somebody said, "But there was no interpretation." That's because it was not for the body. It was just for the individual. There's not always an interpretation. When there's an interpretation, it's for the body. If there's not an interpretation, it's just edification for that individual in the Lord. Now, we have to do that in order, don't we? It's okay to talk in tongues at times, but there's other times it's not time to talk in tongues. I've heard people say, you know, that verse in Corinthians where Paul says, "I'd rather speak 5 words in my own language than 10,000 words or 5,000 words in tongues," whatever it was. Amen. You remember hearing that verse? You know what the key to that is? You got to back up a little bit. It says, "Yet the church." If I was preaching this message in tongues, some of you might be impressed, but you wouldn't understand a word I was saying. I couldn't edify you unless I speak in a language you understand. So that's all that's saying. Paul said, in the church, while I'm preaching, while I'm teaching, he said, I need to speak in a language that the people understand. I'm not trying to just impress people with my spirituality. I want you to understand the word of the Lord. I want you to understand the principles of God. I want you to get a message from the Lord. That's what he's saying there. But at the end of that same chapter, he says this, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. And he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here they are. They're talking in tongues. And the Bible said people from all these nations could understand them. Amen. And they were marveled. They said, how do these people know? These are Galileans. In other words, these are a bunch of hicks from the sticks. How do they speak all these languages? Holy Ghost moving. Spirit of God moving. Talking to them about the glorious works of God. Amen. In the middle of that, amen. The Bible said after a while they kind of got a little used to it, got over the shock and the awe, and they said, well, these men are drunk. And Peter said, he didn't deny it. He said, but we're not drunk as you suppose. Amen. Then it's but just 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon your daughters and handmaids in that day will he pour out of his spirit. And he just gets to preaching. Man, he gets care. I'm talking about the same Peter that couldn't even stand up to a little girl in a courtyard. And here he is in the temple with all of the same rulers that just a few days before that had crucified Jesus Christ. And here he stands with a backbone like a log standing up there strong and straight. Amen. Proclaiming loudly with authority and anointing, he preaches the word of the Lord, and he comes down the home stretch and he talks about Jesus. He said, this Lord whom you have crucified, God hath made him Lord and Christ. And when he got through, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. Then Peter said unto them, shake my hand. Sign this church card. Kiss this ring. Oh, I don't remember it saying that. Amen. What did he say? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. I'm talking about greater things. Hallelujah. What could be greater? I'm going to tell you what was greater. Instead of Jesus just preaching in one place, they were able to preach many places. Amen. Did you know that on this Sunday, on the other side of the world, they've already completed their day? Amen. And in hundreds of thousands of places, this message was preached, and people heard the word of the Lord. Sick folks were healed. Unsaved people were saved. Lost people came to know Jesus Christ. People were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a greater thing. Hallelujah. Amen. That's exactly what happened at Pentecost. The Bible said that day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then a little bit later it said there were added another 5,000 souls. And then it goes on to say, and Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. Hallelujah. And then they went to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth, until finally the Bible said, they which have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Greater works. Hallelujah. Greater works. Amen. You talk about great. They took Peter and John, the Bible said, and they beat them with whips And they said, don't you speak in that name anymore. They looked straight in the eye and said, we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Amen. You got to make up your mind, but as for us, we're going to keep preaching Jesus. And they did. They couldn't beat it out of them. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said they went everywhere preaching the Lord, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Greater things. Greater things. We are living in the day of greater things. You notice that? You see, it was great in the beginning, but as it got closer to the end, it got more and more and more. Amen. The birth of Jesus was miraculous, but the resurrection of Jesus was more glorious. Pentecost was miraculous, but guess what? We're getting close to the end of this thing now. I don't think it's going to be inferior. I think it's going to be superior. I think God's getting ready to put things in high gear around here. Amen. We know we rejoice about it. We talk about it. Hey, 3,000 people got the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. We know of times in our day when hundreds of thousands of people have received the Holy Ghost in one day, in one place, at one time, in one service. That's not including all worldwide. God only knows how many people receive the Holy Ghost today. God only knows how many people that were sick were healed today. I'm talking about greater works. Praise the Lord. There's more people believing Jesus Christ today than there ever has been in the history of the world. The church is not weaker today than it was. It's stronger today. Hallelujah. I hear people sometimes talking about the good old days, and I thank God for the good old days. I'm not knocking that. I appreciate our heritage. I really, 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 really do. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you, there's more people getting the Holy Ghost now than has ever got the Holy Ghost in the history of the world. There are more people being baptized in Jesus' name today than ever in the history of the world. There's more miracles and signs and wonders today than ever in the history of the world. This thing's not getting weaker. This thing's getting stronger. Yes, oh, but it's changed. Oh, yeah, it's changed. We got a different generation to reach. Anybody notice that the world's changed? Let me give you a good example. When my grandparents were alive, you know what their little clock was like? If they were lucky enough to have a clock, it stood over there and it went tick. Tick, tick, tick. And that was life. Tick, tick. And it was like that for generations, thousands of years. Tick, tick. Riding horses, about as fast as you get around. Tick, tick. You know what today's like? You got a watch, you put it up there and listen to it. It's going, huh? That's the age we live in. And you're not going to reach that generation with a TikTok method. Sorry. Times change. I'm not talking about doctrine. Our doctrine hasn't changed. I'm not talking about standards. We still need separation and holiness. Yes, we do. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm just talking about, yes, it's going to be different. Amen. We got a whole different world to reach today. Amen. And we've got to reach more than ever. You know, when I was born, there were probably about 4 billion people on the planet. Now, in my lifetime, there's 7 billion people on the planet. It's more than double just in my lifetime, about 3 billion when I was born. And so it's more than double in my lifetime. You know what that means? That means we got twice as much work to do. I don't know what you think, but I don't believe that God gave us a superior task to an inferior church. I don't believe that. I believe the God that was with Peter and James and John is with us today. I don't believe Jesus is any less. Amen. I believe that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I believe that what He did then, He'll do now. Amen. I believe in greater things. I believe in greater things. Amen. We're getting ready to wrap this thing up, folks. It's coming to an end, and I am too, believe it or not. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about greater things, Brother Neil. Whew. My. Glory to God. Pray. I want to just show you something here. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Amen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. I want you to notice that. He called the tabernacle a he. Amen. You know what the tabernacle is? It's Jesus Christ. He's the new tabernacle. Hallelujah. He said the tabernacle, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then he shows him this beautiful city and its glory. And he talks about a crystal sea. And he talks about walls that are high and great and 12 foundations. He talks about 12 gates, each one made out of a solitary pearl. He talks about 12 angels and the names of Israel, the tribes of Israel, upon the gates. Amen. And then he talks about the size of the city. He said it's about 1,500 miles wide. In other words, if you start over here in Houston and you go all the way across to Los Angeles, about 1,500 miles. And then you go all the way up to Canada, that's about 1,500 miles. And then you come all the way across and you come all the way back. That's a pretty good plot of land right there. And then he said, you shoot up into the heavens 1,500 miles. Hallelujah. That's a big city that the Lord has prepared. And he said, the gates of the city are one pearl. And he said, the streets are made out of pure gold. Amen. I'm talking about some greater things here today. That's the home of the church.
Yes.
Brother Wesley, that's going to be worth going to. Amen. I don't know if you ever heard about the Winchester Mansion. It's out in California. The Winchester Mansion was built by the heiress, a daughter of the guy that made Winchester rifles and weaponry and bullets. And so she kind of, it kind of somehow warped this poor girl. And she built this mansion. She just kept building and building and building. And there were doors that opened into nothing. You just open a door and there's nothing there. You open a door and you're outside again. Amen. She just built this mansion with doors everywhere, just not going anywhere. I don't know what was in her head. Amen. Praise God. But I'm telling you something. God has prepared a mansion for us. A city for us. Hallelujah. Now that's not the best thing. That's all good stuff. But that's not the best thing. I like this part right here, verse number 22. And he said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. Our worship is not going to be in a building, because we're just going to be in the presence of God all this time. It's going to be everywhere. Amen. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Sun, I've heard people get all excited, the sun's burning out. Well, it's got a little left in it, long enough. And then it's not going to matter. Because we're not going to need the sun anyhow. Praise the Lord. Or the moon, or the stars. Because the Lamb and His glory is going to be the light of that city, the Bible said. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. Amen. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. Everybody say no night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No night. No more night. Amen. You know what the Bible said about night, don't you? The Scripture said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There's not going to be any evil up there. Not going to be any need to cover our deeds. Amen. No more night, He said. Amen. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and shall in no wise enter into that anything that defileth. Nothing's going to be wicked. Nothing's going to be impure. Nothing's going to be licentious. Amen. Our world has gotten to a place, it's so sad. Everywhere you look. You know, I mean, you in the time of Christ, they had what they call black and blue Pharisees. In order to avoid having lustful thoughts, they'd close their eyes and walk down the street because they didn't want to see anything wrong. And they kept running into stuff. And so they called them black and blue Pharisees. I'm almost like that. Amen. It's tough going to Walmart in the summertime. It's tough going any time. Amen. You kind of got to look straight ahead or up or something. Amen. The state of undress, billboards, magazine covers, everywhere you look. Amen. Walking down the aisle hearing music, filthy, vile stuff coming over the speakers. You know what I'm saying? This is a vile world we live in. This is a polluted land that we're living in. Amen. But the Bible said up there, there's not going to be anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Anybody ever get tired of lies? But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm talking about greater things. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hey, we're living in the day of greater things. I know it was great when Jesus walked on the earth. I know that. I know it was great during the time of the apostles. I understand that. But I'm just saying that you and I are living in the greater time. There's never been a time as great as this. On the eve of ever great change, in each beginning of each dispensation, it was always greater than what was before. It was always greater. And it's not going to be any different this time. Amen. It's going to be greater when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. It's going to be greater from here on out. Yes, I know there's going to be some problems. I know that. I know that you and I are going to be living in a very difficult time. I understand that. I know that there's probably going to be some persecution in our future. I'm almost sure of it. Amen. Here in the United States of America, I think we're getting ready to feel the lash of persecution. I think liberties that we have taken for granted are getting ready to be lifted. I believe that. But I'm telling you tonight that we're living in the day of greater things.